Hey, Tom.
Hey, JC.
How's it going tonight, buddy?
It's going all right, I guess. You know, it's power's on.
Yeah. 2 weeks in a row, we're here.
Yeah.
Like that. It's one of my favorite days of the year.
The Thursday?
No. I have four favorite days a year, Tom.
Okay.
And it's earnings report day.
Oh, yes.
So, for the next 60 minutes... you get to listen to me dissect the entire earnings report.
Man, I'm glad I bought a box of Uncrustables today.
Just kidding. I have one thing I want us to talk about. I know that good. No one cares about it as much as I do.
Good, because I left them at work.
Oh, well, see, that worked out all right. This isn't your only job?
Well, I mean, if y'all want to pay us, loyal listeners.
Yeah.
I mean, that we can give up the day jobs.
They can go to anchor.fm/cheatersneverpin and click support.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. And then, you know, do the great things our sponsors provide.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all you got to do.
Or, you know, you can be a sponsor of this specific podcast.
Just hand me cash and I'll say whatever you want.
Yeah. We'll sell out for anything.
Just like the State of the Union.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you say we talk about wrestling, buddy?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, can you do me a favor first?
What's that?
Ring that damn bell.
Sure enough.
You're listening to the Cheaters Never Pin podcast, a proud part of the Central 28 Network, bringing you all the best in wrestling from WWE, New Japan, and beyond. Now, live from ringside, it's Mr. Work Rate and JC.
Oh, buddies. The Cheaters Never Pin podcast.
I missed the bong.
My name is JC, and here next to me at the commentary table of the stars is my good buddy, Mr. Work Great Tom.
Great to be here as always, JC.
Oh, we missed doing that last week.
Yeah, we just blew that off.
We realized it at the very end when we got done.
Something felt missing. I'm not sure what.
Yeah. We had to do some editing on the fly there for now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Shakira at the Super Bowl.
For no particular reason. I just, you know, whatever.
Do you watch the Super Bowl?
No.
Cool. That cuts 10 minutes out of the show. So
you can tell me about it if you really want to.
I enjoyed it. I also enjoy that Karen's everywhere got really mad about the halftime show.
Yeah, that I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's entertaining.
Like I said on Twitter, it gave me a great opportunity to find people to block.
Yeah. I should have saved it or shared it on Facebook, but someone who is of Latin descent did a great breakdown of like how every costume and like everything was something to do with Latin culture. And I was like, that's really cool.
Yeah, everything was very symbolic from my understanding. And yeah,
it was neat. It was really cool.
It's almost like you could replay that with like a pop-up video type thing and actually make a learning experience out of it.
Also, it was Shakira and J-Lo. So, one, the music was good because I was at the gym during that part of the Super Bowl. So, that was my music for 20 minutes or whatever. Also, it was Shakira and J-Lo. So,
yeah.
My eyes were not complaining either.
No.
Especially for them being, what, 50-something, and I think Shakira's 40. Her birthday was last Sunday, so 42, I think? Or could just be 40. I can't remember.
I know J-Lo is like 50 and Shakira is in her 40s somewhere. Yeah. So yeah.
Good for them. And they were doing that while I was at the gym. And I was like, boy, work harder. Picking up the mantle of our former employer, Tom. Live in-game update. 2-2.
Who's winning?
It's 2-2.
So Ferris Bueller... Ed Rooney goes into a establishment looking for Ferris near Wrigley Field, where Ferris actually is at Wrigley Field, which you can actually see him in the background on the TV as Ed Rooney's kind of cleaning himself off. And the guy behind the counter is talking to him and he goes, "What's the score?" And the guy behind the counter goes, "It's 2-2. And Ed goes, "Who's winning?" And the guy just turns to him, looks at him, and goes, "The Bears." And then Ed just kind of coolly like nods. And
I've never seen that movie, Tom.
You've never seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
That was long before my time.
it transcends generations.
Does it? Because I have never even felt compelled to watch it.
My kids love that movie.
Well, your kids are way cooler than I am anyway.
Well, yeah, that goes without saying.
Right? I mean, there's no debate there. It's just another point. More evidence.
So as we're discussing this, I'm watching, I picked random stuff to watch on the network because last week I was not putting anything in the background like I normally do, but this time I figured I needed to.
Bringing all the old bits back tonight.
Yeah.
10 counts coming back. Just kidding.
No, it's not. 3 hours.
3 hours of a podcast.
But so there was a bunch of Kevin Owens stuff. So I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, there's a Kevin Owens collection. So I just go to hit that. And the first match that's there is Kevin Owens' I guess, debut in NXT at a Revolution, where he faces CJ Parker, the man you now know as Juice Robinson.
The flamboyant Juice Robinson, Tom.
Yes. And it's just so kind of weird to see him in an NXT ring. I mean, he spent a decent amount of time in NXT, and it's just, it's like to see him come out there, and it's like his Twitter handle's like at WWE Moonchild, I think, or something.
Because he spent he was spending all that time running around with like the protest signs, just showing up in matches and during every pre-show.
Yeah.
What a terrible gimmick.
I think Owens kind of ended that gimmick too, because he had the sign and like Owens jumps him like before the match and then proceeds to grab the sign and tear the sign apart.
Yeah. And then got his face busted open for it.
Yeah.
I firmly believe that Kevin Owens would still have been a babyface in NXT, but Juice Robinson knocked something loose in his head when he hit him that hard. I think that's good storytelling.
Oh, yeah.
So when Juice comes back to WWE, long-term booking.
Oh, yeah.
See?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm just looking to see that the next match is the Lucha Dragons facing off against the Vaudevillains, and it's weird to think that two people are still with the company of that group.
One.
Kalisto's still there.
That's what I'm saying. There's only one. Kalisto.
Aiden English is still doing
commentary. Right. Sorry, I forgot about him and commentary. I mean, there's only one active wrestler in the group.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about WWE for a second.
Yeah, I guess we kind of have to.
Let's talk about
mainstream.
It is the worldwide leader in sports entertainment, in theory.
That's what they say when the show starts.
Yeah.
I think still, maybe.
No, it's just then, now, forever.
Oh.
Yeah. As I alluded to in the opening, today was the Q4 and 2019 earnings call. Record revenue, record OIBDA, all that good stuff. But I think everyone was mainly listening and very curious about it due to last week's departures of Michelle Wilson and George Berrios. And you know, Vince's statement afterwards being like, you know, there were strategic differences. Well, Vince on the call today says, you know, it's differences in execution, not necessarily difference in vision and strategy. But they go into a lot of talk during the call about a new strategy or strategic initiatives, which is the key phrase of the day. I'm expecting furniture to come alive and yell at me. Regarding the WWE network, subs are still nowhere near whatever the 3 million when they first launched it. They're down. So they're looking at strategic initiatives to increase revenue via the network. And there was a lot of talk about with Vince saying that many of the majors, as he kept calling it, major OTT over the top services are very interested in the WWE network, i.e. like Hulu basically taking the WWE network, or at least the pay-per-views. Same with ESPN Plus or DAZN. I think that's we're getting ready to come into a new era of the network here, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that. How do you feel about WWE Network if they were to move pay-per-views? Here, there's a bunch of different theories here being thrown around about this, so let's start with the first one, that WWE Network is the back catalog and the originals, and your pay-per-views are going to live on Hulu, ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, whatever.
I mean, I'm a subscriber mainly for back catalog.
Right.
That's what keeps me there. Just because, and that's mainly because the product has not been entertaining to me recently. I mean, I was excited for the Rumble and, you know, paid the price for that. I was excited somewhat for Survivor Series. I mean, my two main things are the Rumble and WrestleMania. That's just one of those things. But for the monthly pay-per-views, things like that, that's not something necessarily pulls me in. I enjoy watching, like, being able to access an old Great American Bash from, you know, the early 90s, or some old WTBS Crockett stuff, or UWF, you know, Mid-South or something along those lines, because I'm old, as we've already brought up
at least once.
Yes. And I love watching stuff that I watched as a kid, or in the case of a lot of that stuff, like Mid-South, stuff that I couldn't watch as a kid that I only read about in old After mags and, you know, wrestling magazines and that type of thing. But I mean, it's kind of similar to the reason I subscribe, say, to New Japan World, is that I have access to that entire back catalog as well. So I think if we're approaching the network from that standpoint, as potentially splitting it essentially in two, I think it comes down to a price point thing. Like, I'm only paying $10 a month to see pay-per-views and a full back catalog. So if you split off the pay-per-views and you go, hey, we're not going to have the pay-per-views anymore, that's going to be a separate product, how much per month are you going to ask for these pay-per-views? Which seems odd in the sense that, like, a pay-per-view used to be $30, $40, $50, $60, you know, for just one particular show. And now we're going, geez, $10. I don't know if I want pay-per-views. I don't know if I'd spend, you know, just for pay-per-views alone, I don't know if I'd spend $10 a month, when essentially, you know, that was the price that you were paying for, the price that you pay for two pay-per-views is the price that you pay for WWE Network for a year.
Right. And that was the selling point of the network at the beginning, right? Like, $10 a month, pay-per-views every month.
Because that was the thing. That was what was ingrained into your brain, was, well, I used to pay $60. Now I can pay $10. Well, of course I would pay for this.
I mean, they even had JBL at the time with the flashcards, basically being like, are you stupid enough to pay $55 for SummerSlam on DirecTV? Nah, you're not. Give me 10.
But now, since the network's been out for, what, 5 years or whatever, mm-hmm. it's gotten so ingrained in our brains that pay-per-views are not a price premium anymore, at least for WWE pay-per-views. I mean, I don't know if you can get away with doing that. But you can't. I take that back. You can't really. The box has already been opened. You can't, you know, put everything back into the box again.
Right.
You can't charge $60 for SummerSlam anymore. You can't.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
And it's just, you can't go back. It's too late. Like, UFC is actually, I guess, kind of figured out ideally what they want to do. That's the ideal, I guess, that WWE probably wanted to do, was they have like a signature service or whatever, and they have like the smaller events that you can watch on, you know, like the ESPN Plus and that type of thing, kind of on a subscription thing. But for the major stuff, you're still paying the $60.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I wanted to get to, right, is the UFC model now, right? And I think we're all spoiled by the $10 a month. I want it to stay that way because I like to keep my money. But if there's a way to do this and do it correctly, it's the UFC Plus model or the UFC model, right? So they've got Fight Pass, which is the back catalog, and also any other promotions they own and other smaller promotions too, which I think would be a great thing for WWE Network if they want to add Progress or OTT or anything like that, right? Keep that on the network. Then they've got the deal with ESPN Plus to where you do have some of the back catalog there. You've got a couple of original series that are exclusive to that, like, you know, the Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender series. They do different specials and stuff before each of the pay-per-views. Some of the YouTube stuff like they carry there too. But then on top of that, so you get all that for just being the ESPN Plus subscriber, right? It exposes you to the UFC brand. But then on top of that, you have to be the ESPN Plus subscriber in the US to be able to buy the UFC pay-per-view. So I like, if they were to do something like that, like, yeah, the network's there. It's the entire back catalog, original series, some of the promotions they're partnered with.
So you still need ESPN. Sorry, I don't buy UFC pay-per-views. So you still need ESPN Plus in order to be able to buy.
Correct. You have to be
like the Conor McGregor pay-per-view.
Right. So you have to pay your monthly fee, and then they sell a bundle, right? Each pay-per-view that's like, $10 more. That's, here's a year of ESPN Plus and this pay-per-view.
So if you don't have ESPN Plus, you kind of need ESPN Plus, but it's like, hey,
here's
we're essentially kind of throwing it in for you.
Right. Yeah. So I can look it up because they'll have it up for this weekend, like what they charge, right? UFC 240. All right. Let me go straight to the ESPN website because that always has it. But I think that, to me, that's kind of the model they want that I think they should work to achieve. But then the question still becomes, and this is what you were talking about. All right. Pay-per-views have been $10 for 5 years now. What is the fair market value for a WWE pay-per-view? What extra expenditure will the market bear for that? Because I think you take the pay-per-views away, people are going to cancel WWE Network. That subscriber number shrinks dramatically.
Yeah.
And it could be one of those things, too. It varies from region to region, right? Maybe they're included everywhere else in the world, but they work out a content carriage deal here. It's possible. So UFC 247 this weekend. You save 30% when you upgrade and bundle. So you get the pay-per-view and an annual plan for $84.98, but the pay-per-view by itself is $64.99.
Okay. Well, I mean, that becomes a decision. It's not an obvious choice.
Right.
I guess, but I don't know.
Yeah. So, but what would you be willing to pay for a WWE pay-per-view right now?
I mean, me, nothing. But
right. But let's say, you know, let's look at, all right, now they know they have to get people to spend more money for it. They're going to increase the quality of it because there has been a marked decline in the quality of WWE pay-per-view content since they went to the network because we already got their money.
Yeah, so, I mean,
assuming things are better creatively, what do you pay? Is it? I mean, they can't charge UFC levels, right? Like, I'm not paying $65 a month to watch WWE. Sorry.
No.
I'm not doing it. Could they just do 10 for the pay-per-view? 15?
But then you're essentially increasing the price of a product that is losing subscribers as we speak.
Right.
Oh God, I forgot all these people were in NXT at the time. I'm sorry. I'm like so distracted.
Like the glory days. Which we just say because it hasn't been around that long.
So
I mean, it's a no-win proposition at this point, because you've got a fan base that, I mean, there's always that top 5% or whatever that will buy WWE product regardless.
Right.
Like, oh, we're going to go back to $60 pay-per-views. You know.
Yeah.
It's okay. You know, I spend $500 mm-hmm. on WWE merchandise every month anyway. That's no big deal.
Right.
It's just two less t-shirts to buy.
But, you know, for the common casual fan, which is the vast majority of the fan base.
Right. And which has been slowly getting pushed away a little bit as it is. I mean, I think if you want people to pay for pay-per-views, you have to go back to the whole concept of the pay-per-view in the first place and make those marquee matches mm-hmm. something that you can't get anywhere else, something that you're building toward. Because, I mean, and this has been the case for, you know, almost as long as Raw's been on the air, but essentially taking matches that you're supposedly building for in pay-per-view and giving it away on free TV. It's what they've been doing, I mean, for so long. So if you have, like, you're trying to build to a Roman Reigns versus Baron Corbin, you know, pay-per-view match for whatever reason, stop having them, you know, like show up in tag matches or six-man matches, and just, you know, essentially you want to see these two guys get in the ring alone, and you want to build to that. And we're not building to that anymore because these guys are always seeing each other.
Mm-hmm. And I think so much of that has to do with the fact that they're like, oh, we get these people's money every month. It's only $10. Who cares? So the other strategy I think they can utilize, and this, they've talked about this and talked about this and talked about this, but if they want to keep it in-house, right, which I don't think they do. I think they can go to ESPN Plus or Hulu or DAZN and make tremendously more money.
And that's what they want to do.
Yeah,
the best product.
Yeah, it is. That's their fiduciary responsibilities to make money for the stockholders. So right. Can't be mad at them for that. But if they could finally get to, let's have the tiered WWE network, right? So they've been beta testing the free tier. It's still going.
I didn't even realize that was available. I saw that, I guess, in the announcement. That's apparently been available in some areas since December.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So there's that. You can have the $10 tier, as it is right now, minus the pay-per-views. And then I don't know if it's 15, 17. I don't think you can jump a full another 10 just for pay-per-views. But let's say $17.99 a month. You get takeovers, pay-per-views, and any other live special, right? They want to throw on a house show, great. Now, they probably shouldn't do that, because then your operating costs are going to go up, and at that point are you making more money? I don't know what the answer is right now. I don't think they do either, and I got that sense too from the call, right, that they have a lot of options in front of them, but what the winning option is, they've got no idea. But it feels like they're very strongly going towards selling off pay-per-view rights.
Yeah, it's trying to find that happy medium from a profit standpoint. I mean, it's like any business. It's how much, you know, not to get charts involved or, you know, graphs or anything like that, but you start to see a line as you go. The more that you charge, the more you're going to see people drop off. Mm-hmm. So there's still a profit as you're going along.
Yeah,
it's just a question of being able to not push it too far into one direction, because it's not a straight direct correlation. It's eventually that
thing's going to drop. It's like a bell curve. It's going to drop a lot quicker once you get to a certain point. So,
yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. So they are planning on releasing a within, I think they said by the end of the, it may have been by the end of the quarter. I think it's correct. I have to look back at the tweets. But a strategic long-term plan out, and this is obviously a key part of that, along with the negotiations that are still going on with Saudi Arabia for carriage rights in Middle East, North Africa, as well as the Indian TV deal that's still up in the air due to regulatory changes. So investors are a little spooked. The stock is not in a great position. It's not as bad off as it was this morning. It opened at 40.24 and it closed at 44.32 today. But, you know, 52-week high is $100. So, yikes. So, interesting times. And we'll see what the plan is going forward. I just found that to be the most interesting part of the whole thing. Of the, we're going to change the network. And everyone's like, oh. And then, of course, everyone in the Q&A asking 900 questions about it and being like, we don't know. Like,
we're going to do something.
The other thing Vince wanted everyone to very clearly know during this call is that the XFL and the WWE are two separate entities.
It's got his own employees, damn it.
It has 400 of them.
400. Yes,
I will not forget that number because I heard it at least five times, I think. I can't tell you how many of the analysts in the Q&A were like, how is the operation of XFL going to affect... And he's like, as I've said before, it's different, goddammit. I want Mr. McMahon on one of these calls one time. Not just Vince McMahon, the CEO, right? Like, I want Mr. McMahon. And the call needs to start with no chance in hell play. Which is probably not the right idea to send to investors. But it seems good, right?
You know, sorry, I'm just reminded now that Baron Corbin used to have hair.
Yeah, thank God he shaved it because it was real bad, yo.
And used to not wear a shirt, so you can see that.
The torso face?
Oh, yeah, the torso face. I was just thinking of the heart in the Willy Wonka glass elevator thing that he's got going there.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the tattoo with the bluebirds on either side of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now he's staring down Bull Dempsey in the...
Oh, my God. This is pre-Bull Fit Bull Dempsey, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Trip down memory lane from 4 years ago.
Baron also destroyed I want to say poor Young, but not really. Tenless Ty Dillinger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can't call him Young if it's his second stint in the company.
Yeah, it's kind of a glorified squash there. And before that, in just a tiny little segment, Sasha Banks was getting ready for young lady.
She's still under contract? She still work there?
She was... in NXT in 2014.
Yes.
But she was getting ready for her title match with Charlotte, no last name. And she was being assisted by her lovely second, some Irish lady. I don't remember her name.
Who was trying to find herself from being like weird rocker.
Yeah. It's funny because she's still... she kind of has the look that she does now because it's kind of downplayed. She wasn't like, you know, dancing a jig or anything like that. But this is
at that point she wasn't, but she was when she first got there.
Oh yeah.
Oh God, I'll never forget her debut because I remember seeing it and be like, oh, she's not going anywhere. I was wrong.
Oh, Sami Zayn.
You know what else would be wrong, Tom?
What's that, JC?
Not checking out our sponsor.
Okay.
And thanks again to Anchor for hosting this podcast and being a good sponsor.
We like sponsors.
We do.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
You can be
Thanks,
one
Anchor.
You can be one too. Whether you want to, whether you want an ad read or you just want to go to anchor.fm/cheatersneverpin and click the support button and just donate some money every month. Don't feel compelled. We appreciate it if you do, though.
Yeah.
And we'll read your name every week as a thank you at any level.
And remember, if you go to that Anchor site, you can also record some pin mail for us or any other questions or comments that you might have. And we might be able to use your voice on this very broadcast. So you can be, you know, hella famous.
Yeah. I will say you do have to sign up for an Anchor account to do that. That way, when we pull your audio into the show, you get an email and be like, hey, you were on the show.
Oh, well, that must cost a lot of money, right? To make an Anchor account.
It's free. Free 99.
See, I don't like the free 99 thing because, well, one, that would imply free plus 99, so it would imply like 99 cents. Two, I tend to have a speech impediment sometimes, so it sounds like $3.99.
Yeah.
I lost my front teeth when I was little.
Oh, that happens. Did you get them back for Christmas?
No.
Oh, damn it. I was really hoping that was your song.
No.
All right. Well, since you brought it up, you know what we should do right now?
Get front teeth?
We should read some pin mail.
Oh. Pin mail. Pin mail. Pin mail.
Well, that was the remix. I like that.
Oh, DJ Khalid, you know. You never know when he's going to show up.
All he does is win. So we have all of one pin mail, which is fine. Getting back into this.
Yeah, it's starting back up again.
Yes.
Oh God, the Ascension is here. Not in
Thank God they're somewhere.
Home, but I miss them.
Yeah, me too. I miss the I almost said the XFL version of them, the NXT version of them. Like, that was so great. And I mean, that version of it was Connor and Victor, not like the original Ascension, which was like, let's cut these weird vignettes from atop of a building. Do you remember that?
No, because I wasn't in NXT at the time.
It was weird. We got Prime Ascension. That's all that mattered.
And it was kind of cool. And then, you know, they were like, oh, let's introduce them to WWE and we'll call them like the new Road Warriors. And then people will get really pissed off and we'll never push them again.
Yep. Poor guys. So our one pin mail tonight from our best buddy, Noah's Ark, in Lock 716 on the Twitter machine.
Congratulations on your engagement, by the way.
Yeah, buddy. Congrats. We're proud of you. That should serve, you know what? That should serve as proof to everyone out there in wrestling land. You can enjoy this sport and have a significant other.
It's true.
All three of us are proof of that. So, here we go. Here's his question. Sorry. I totally
shedding a tear over there. No,
my brain totally turned off for a second. Ooh, should probably do that. Not during the show.
No.
Rumors are starting again about if Sting came back, it would be at WrestleMania 36. Thoughts? It's cool. Because I'll mark out for it. Do we need it? No. Do we really want it? No. Would it be awesome? Yes.
See, I can't say, do we really want it? I mean, because there are people that want to see Hogan wrestle again. You know,
I mean, I always want Sting back, especially because of the way he went out, right? Like, he didn't get to go out on his own terms. Right, he got injured in that Night of Champions match against Seth. He got that really bad stinger, which is ironic in retrospect.
Yeah, I wasn't going to touch that because it's not funny.
No, I'm just saying it's ironic in retrospect. But I mean, it'd be cool. I mean, I don't know who you put him against. I mean, you obviously put him against The Undertaker.
I mean, that's the thing. It's if you're going to do stuff like this at WrestleMania, you kind of have to do a Legends type of match for this. You're not going to put him. I mean, it was a mistake in the first place putting him against Seth.
That match was good until he got hurt.
Yeah, in theory, it's going to be good. But I mean, that's the thing. It's don't mix your Legends with the new people that you're trying to push.
Yeah, because you're going to make everybody mad that the Legend got the 3-second tan. And then you're going to be mad if the current active guy doesn't go over. Because, well, it doesn't prove anything, you know. So, there's no good ending to that.
Yeah, you're going to piss off somebody in the process. And, I mean, it's funny because your supposed old school wrestling fans are the ones that are supposed to know that your Legends, the guys that were on top at one time that aren't on top anymore, are the ones that they're supposed to put over their guys on the way out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's this has changed.
I mean, at least Angle did it last year.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, like, Japan understands this. I mean, Japan still keeps the proper structure of how, like, you know, territorial wrestling was in the 70s and 80s, that type of thing. And that their Legends, you know, are kind of off to the side. They're not necessarily pushing them. I mean, well, in Japan, it's a little bit different because they have their Legends pretty much wrestling non-important matches against dojo guys and that type of thing in openers.
Right.
But, I mean, you have somebody like Jushin Liger, who was potentially greatest junior heavyweight of all time, and he goes and has his two retirement matches on the biggest New Japan show of the year, and he does the job in both matches.
Yeah,
even in like a 10-man tag, he takes the fall.
Yeah,
like
I think we say this because it's the tradition, right? But that's the respectable way to do it. Is you're leaving the business, put somebody over on your way out to take your spot.
Right.
Because it keeps the business healthy for everyone.
Buddy Rogers put over Ric Flair.
Yep.
Like, Buddy Rogers was a wrestler who originally was called the Nature Boy.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Okay.
I know that was when you were like 5 or 6. Probably not wrong on that by too far, am I?
I think technically with the match that I'm thinking of, that's probably accurate.
I'm actually probably right.
Because I think that's about 81.
I was going to say you were like 12 or 13. And I was like, no, that's really mean. Let me go 5 or 6. And then as soon as I said it, I realized that was probably accurate.
Nah, 12 or 13 was like, God, what was that?
That was when Bruno was running MSG, baby.
No, that was... That was like Hogan Andre kind of error.
I
forgot the Demon was in this match.
Yeah. Yep. That was his debut. But yeah, I'm all for, especially for Mania, right? Have one Legend match. Like, it's cool. It's cool for the fans. It doesn't have to be 10 minutes, right? In and out. 10 minutes at most.
Right, because I mean, that's what WrestleMania is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a spectacle, and you can turn around and you're having, you know, 14 hours of matches or whatever.
Yeah. And WrestleMania is the celebration of the sport, right? We have Hall of Fame. We've got all this other stuff surrounding it. Like, that's, you know, it's the history.
So, yeah, bring these. I mean,
which is why Goldberg's coming back on Friday. Which, awesome, because I'll never not mark for Bill. And I know, sure. I know you and I have very, I know he's not a good wrestler, Tom.
I don't care about his work rate. I care about the fact that he is so showing up for paychecks, as he has been since 1999.
You know what, though, I will say, for this, certainly, because it's clear we're booking him for Saudi Arabia. Which is a good paycheck, and I don't blame him. except I mean the morality
that's
part
his
of
purpose.
It.
That I mean that's his purpose and that's fine. I mean,
but I would say
Saudi
that whole,
Arabia is a paycheck. He is a paycheck wrestler. Go
get
that money.
I would say his last like real run, right when he had the title and went to Mania. I think that was the money. I'm sure was good, but like I felt like and he talked about it, and I think his 24, like he wanted to come back and prove something, and especially for his kid. He wanted to show he wasn't the giant dick he was when he was actually there in his first run. Like,
I think that's the closest he's come to being a wrestler that I can kind of respect.
Yeah.
Because it was a thing of when he went through WCW and all that, and I mean, even that late WWE run, he was doing it for paychecks. He was doing it because it was, you know, like, originally he ended up going to wrestling school because, well, you know, football was done and he was still in good shape. So somebody talked him into the wrestling thing and okay. And then he was just absolutely in the right place at the right time. Yeah. And he never really appreciated it when it was there. And I think it was a thing of after the fact, you know, he kind of looked back on it. It was just like, I was in this great position and I kind of actually dug what I was doing, or, you know, I should have dug it a lot more and I didn't realize it. And damn, now it's passed me by. So that when he had the opportunity to go back, even in his limited kind of role that he was in, he was going to take advantage of it. He was going to let his kids see it, you know, and just actually enjoy it while it was happening. And
yeah,
I mean, I can respect that. That just,
yeah. And
still,
I'll never forget that match from that Mania with him and Goldberg, or with him and Lesnar for the title.
Yeah.
It was just like a crash brawl for, well, I think it was only like 4 minutes, but it was an amazing 4 minutes and it's all it needed to be. I was like, that's some good sports entertaining. Like,
it wasn't. I guess I have to kind of take a step back too, and because Lesnar frustrates the hell out of me too. But I mean, that's my own problem. But
we could talk more about that closer. Well, hell, we could talk about it now after what Cena said this week.
But I mean, Cena said that completely in kayfabe. Sorry, he did.
Talk about that. We'll get to that.
So I think I'll be able to appreciate it a hell of a lot more after it's over. But just looking back on this last Lesnar run, when he came back from UFC and they brought him in and did the whole Heyman thing or whatever, and just see how he's been booked, it has been different than like any other traditional kind of wrestling booking, for especially for a champion. It's just, it's been done so differently, I think. And again, I'll probably respect the hell out of it after the fact. I can't stand it now, but
yeah. I want to talk about Lesnar a little bit, but first I want to wrap up the Goldberg stuff, because apparently the thought process is that he may be coming back. So I think he's coming back, and I think it's him and the Fiend, right? Because the Fiend has the thing about killing legends, and he's not Orton, but you know, that would work. Puts the Fiend on the show, because he's not really doing anything right now, so that makes sense. The other theory that's floating around on the water supply is that he and The Undertaker hate how that last match went, because they both got hurt, like it was just a disaster, and that they want to run it back.
Okay. I mean, I could see that, just because it was a mess.
Which, if that's the case, and Goldberg's like, we got to do it again because that was terrible, I have even more respect for him. To be like, no, I'm not. That's not how this is. That's not how this story, part of the story ends. So, I don't know. We'll see. But
live in-game update.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Arizona Coyotes 2. Carolina Hurricanes 4.
Woo!
Sebastian Aho with a goal.
Slavin had the third.
Slavin had the second.
Svetch's second
was the third.
Correct.
So it's been Svetch, right. Slavin, Svetch, Aho.
Svetrick incoming. So let's talk about Lesnar for a minute.
This has been the hockey portion of the wrestling podcast.
Somebody's got to do it. So John Cena, an interview with Sports Illustrated this week. And I'm not quoting because I'm not pulling it up. But calls Brock Lesnar the greatest sports entertainer he's ever seen. Calls him the GOAT. I've thought, ever since I read that, I've thought a lot about it. And I don't want to go that far. Like I don't think Lesnar ever makes the Mount Rushmore, right?
No.
He's nowhere close to that. So I think calling him the greatest sports entertainer of all time is a far reach. Is he in the top 30 WWE superstars of all time? Undoubtedly. I don't know where he falls. It could even be top 25. I don't know. I'd have to sit down and make that list, which sounds like a good episode one day.
I mean, and it depends on your criteria. You have scoring points for all these like different areas. But it kind of goes without saying that Lesnar can't cut a promo. But there were other people. I mean,
when you think of Lesnar, I think you put Lesnar and Heyman together, and that's Lesnar, right? Because that's just how it is. So I think that's part of the package with him. I'm not going to hold him not cutting a promo against him because they know he's not capable, but they've given him this, I almost said life partner, but they've given him this advocate that works perfectly. But I think he's just got this incredible ability. And I think his last run with the title, everyone just got so frustrated with it. And it wasn't his fault. It was really bad booking that he never really had a challenge or anything up against him. And we all knew it was going to end with Roman. But I feel like this latest run, and especially the Rumble this year, I feel like he's on a different level. I feel like he's enjoying it more, and he's enjoying putting over talent. Because if Vince pitches Brock on the, you're going to stand there and eliminate 12 guys, and then you're going to get tossed by one guy. If he doesn't like that, he's going to, of all people, he's going to tell Vince, and he's going to walk out. Like, because he's Brock Lesnar. But I think he enjoys that. And, he's even, R-Truth said that Brock's told him that he wants to work with R-Truth more, which I need that as the tag team champs. I need them to go to NXT next year with the Dusty. Okay. Because the odd man tag team is working so well for the Broserweights right now. Give it to me every year. And next year, R-Truth and Lesnar. But he has, of anyone I've seen and can think of in years and years, such an easy ability to make a star. And I think that makes him worthy of everything, right? Not the GOAT, but it puts him up in a top tier position.
I mean, because Lesnar is, at least, especially the way he's been booked recently, Lesnar's every video game end boss. He is essentially Mike Tyson at the end of Mike Tyson's Punch Out, where you have to fight him in a very particular way.
Punch the balls.
And if you make one mistake, you lose.
Yeah. But I kind of like that. Like it. And now that they, now that he's been beaten a few times and he's got that vulnerability to him, like, I like the idea of having that final boss. That even if he's not holding the title, he can still kind of serve in that manner. Because if you cross Brock Lesnar the wrong way, you're screwed. I don't know. I just feel like GOAT, I think, is strong, but I think it's worth saying that he is incredibly valuable to the next 5 years of this company in building it into the future. Because he has the ability to make the people that are going to be the stars in the next 10 years through his work in the next five.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's, he's not the total package. No, he's not Lex Luger, but I mean, he's not, he's not everything. Like he's not,
no one needs to be, right?
Right. And that's the thing. But especially when he has Heyman alongside of him and proper booking, it's as close as you're going to get at this point.
Yeah. I completely agree. All right. So moving on to something else, because Tom, I have to get your thought on this.
Okay.
And I think this is where we wrap up for the evening. It was announced this on Super Bowl Sunday by the creator of the greatest non-WrestleMania show at WrestleMania weekend, Joey Janela, that at Spring Break 4, it's going to be Orange Cassidy, GCW regular, taking on Minoru Suzuki.
I don't know how to feel about this.
I don't either, right? Now, we know Minoru's good at comedy stuff.
You wouldn't think so.
But because he is.
People are flipping out online.
I've seen nothing but like, I can't wait to see that. It's going to be great.
I've seen comments online about, apparently about people who've only seen like Suzuki-gun like in the last couple of years, that are just like, you're ruining his reputation. Jesus. For, you know, like this intimidating character is going to have to do all this comedy crap or whatever. I'm like, did I not watch him wrestle in an entire baseball stadium?
Yeah. Have you ever seen DDT, folks? I'm just so intrigued by it. And and Cassidy can work. So I'm not worried about that part of it, but I'm just interested to see how they structure that match. Cause obviously the first 5 to 10 minutes of it is comedy, but then what? Cause I honestly don't think you can use Minoru Suzuki in that way to where it's just going to be 20 minutes of comedy in this setting.
No, cause eventually he's just going to get pissed off and.
Right. And then he's going
to want to stretch him.
Yeah. Oh, and that's totally going to happen. So I don't know. I'm super interested in it. I can't wait. It's just going to be fun. That show's so much fun every year anyway.
Yeah.
It may be my favorite part of WrestleMania weekend now. And I think it's only because it's always like the Saturday night at midnight. So I'm just delirious at that point. So all of the crazy crap works because I'm so exhausted. But I can't wait. It'll be fun.
It's going to be interesting. And again, that's the type of thing that you want in a match like that, is just what's going to happen. Like a lot of matches you kind of already kind of mentally book and things like that. You can't mentally book that match. You just,
yeah,
you kind of get an idea. Maybe it might be like this.
And
maybe.
That's what Spring Break has always been. And yeah. I say always, but it's only the fourth year of it, but it's just these ridiculous matches where you're like, what the hell's going to happen? Like last year, it was Invisible Man versus whoever. Right. And you see that on paper.
It wasn't Invisible Stan.
Yeah, that's right. Invisible Man, Invisible Stan. Thank you. And you see it booked on paper and you're like, the hell is this? Cause I remember being like, how do you even pull, like, I get the concept that the crowd's going to have to, you know, and the crowd's going to buy into it. Right. And everything. But like, what do you do? And it's a 10 minute match that just brought the house down. Because you could, because you've got the ref out there. Just, I mean, he was the sports entertainer in this case.
Yeah.
But it was just amazing. And I can't wait. And the clusterfuck is always exactly what it's named. But especially last year with that ending, with the women taking over.
We're not cursing here. That's the name of the actual match.
Yeah. So. Oh. But other than that, it's been a quiet week in wrestling land, which is kind of nice. So, anything else? Or we wrap this thing up?
No, I'm good on this side if you are.
I'm good, man. So, Tom, tell the people where they can find you on the internet.
Go on a Twitter machine at Mr. Workrate. I'm still trying to do the Instagram thing, so there's that. I just downloaded TikTok. I'm not actually putting anything on there, though, but
I want Tom to have it that way. I need the Mr. Workrate TikTok channel, please.
No, I can't do 5-second dance routines. That's about the length of time I can dance, but
that's
no,
perfect.
It's not happening.
You can find me on the internet at JCBobbitt, at JCBobbitt, wherever finer social media is purveyed. You can find the show on Twitter at Cheaters and VR Pin. You can find us on Facebook, Cheaters and VR Pin. We're on Instagram as well, Cheaters and VR Pin. Find us on our new platform, Anchor. Anchor.fm/CheatersNeverPin. So we can go to find our back catalog. Support the show by clicking the support button and donating a little bit every month if you feel so compelled. Anchor is, of course, the sponsor of this podcast. So if you need any hosting of your podcast, go to anchor.com or download the Anchor app to set it up for free. Yeah, so I think it'll do it. Next week, we'll be back with more on the road to WrestleMania exhaustion weekend.
Maybe more pin mail.
Yeah, a little more pin mail.
Send them in.
Yeah, go to the website and send us a voice one. Be cool.
We want to hear you directly. Yeah. We actually want to hear your sound.
Literally, we just want to fill time with your voice. Because that's 60 less seconds we have to talk.
Cut a promo, man. It's a wrestling podcast. Ooh.
Tom, we should have that would be a good contest, right? We got to talk about that. A promo contest.
Yeah, that gives us something to work with for the next week.
I like that idea. Let's brainstorm on that. But for now, we'll end this podcast here. So for everyone at Cheaters Never Pin, which is Tom and I, we're going to get out of here.
Yeah.
So I'm JC.
I'm Tom.
And we'll catch you on the flip side.